All right, so if you have never seen Fight Club, this is one of my favorite scenes because Fight Club is basically a movie, this anarchist movie about total chaos. And right in the middle of the movie, they do these eight rules. These rules for this group of anarchists who are wanting to make chaos for everything, and they have these eight rules. It like makes me laugh so hard because it just shows how no matter what area of society you're in, there's still going to be rules. I don't care if it's school or work or family, we have rules. Sometimes they're spoken, sometimes they're unspoken. I want to throw this to you. I'm going to give you 1 minute. Turn to the person to your right or left. 1 minute. What's the silliest rule you have ever seen, and did you follow it? Go, really quick, 1 minute. Silliest rule you've ever seen. I'm going to ask you in 1 minute. I'm hearing a lot of speed limits. Keep it's good. Keep going. All right, silliest rule you've ever seen. Who will share? Don't ask questions? Was that actually a rule or like that you had? Someone told you this? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was my life growing up. Yes, don't ask questions. I was telling someone earlier, Rob's rule is to question the answers. Don't answer the questions. I like that. I like that rule better than don't ask questions. Yeah, Stacy. Wear a skirt. You went to a private school. Yes, yes. Wear a skirt while playing volleyball. Is that the same for you, Rob? Or same rule? No, different. Yeah, yes. You're like, ditto.
No, ours was you had to wear a tie on Sunday morning. And I had a lady tell me I was going to hell because I wasn't wearing a tie.
Wow. And you're going to hell for so many other reasons. That's so weird. Not the tie. That's not the... That's right. Silliest rule. Yeah. Yeah, right, it's a very awkward statement, no mixed bathing. Yes, that's, I understand. Anybody else? Any other silly rules? All right, did you follow them, by the way? You guys, did you wear a tie, Rob? No, I didn't think so. Good. Yeah. The rule thing is interesting. We're going to talk about it today because things get a little sticky. It's funny how some of you talked about rules with church stuff because they do get a little sticky when we put rules with God. And we're going to start Lent by talking about believing. And it's going to be weird because we're going to talk about believing and we're going to spend a good amount of our time here at the beginning talking about rules because they go together. First and foremost, it's hard to follow the rules because it's a little hard to know the rules, but even when you know them or you think you know them, it's hard to follow them. One of my favorite stories is Ben Franklin saying, Benjamin Franklin, we go by Ben, we have a thing, Benjamin Franklin saying this. He really said this. I conceived the bold and arduous project of arriving at moral perfection. Yes. I wish to live without committing any fault at any time. He journaled about this, actually. He had a goal in his life at one point that he wanted to be perfect. That is an interesting idea. Okay, I like that. I see if it works for him. So he came up with these rules, these moral rules. These were his virtues. And these moral rules were the things that he decided he was going to perfect. One was going to be self-restraint, silence, discipline. He wanted to discipline his life. Frugality, he wanted to be good with his money. Hard work, sincerity, justice, self-control, cleanliness, peace, sexual purity, which if you know anything about Benjamin Franklin, we'll move on. And then... And then, really, many of the founding fathers. Interesting stories. And humility. These were the rules that he was going to follow. So this was kind of his goal and, you know, started to do it. Months passed. He journaled this. Following the moral rules was nearly impossible. I was surprised. I was surprised to find myself so much fuller of faults than I would have ever imagined. I wonder if you've ever been there. Have you ever found yourself more full of faults than you imagined? See, one of my problems was I did grow up having to follow a lot of rules. I grew up in a religious environment. And it was, I thought, pretty nasty. Looking back now, I think there was some nastiness about it. And one of the things that happened was I actually echo that. I found myself so much fuller of faults than I had ever imagined because I was told how full of faults I was. I didn't even know how to be moral or what that meant, except to just follow rules and kind of nod and play along. But I think there may be a better way to do it. See, what happens is people get scared. They worry that if they don't follow the right rules, something's going to happen to them. The great theologian Dwight Schrute, who's a great rule follower himself, said it like this. Watch this.
I need a soup spoon. Rule 17. Don't turn your back on bears, men you have wronged, or the dominant turkey during mating season. There are 40 rules all Schrute boys must learn before the age of 5. Learn your rules. You better learn your rules. If you don't, you'll be eaten in your sleep.
There you go. So, I just love that little clip. So this is really the idea. Learn your rules, know your rules, follow the rules, and if you don't, you're going to be eaten in your sleep. That little five-year-old song that he's saying is, though, a little feeling that people have at times. We want to know the rules, which ones to follow, because we're scared maybe we're going to follow the wrong ones. Today, what we're going to talk about in this first week of Lent is believing. What does it mean to believe? And I want to posit to you today that believing has become confused with rule following. And that in kind of the majority of understanding of Christ, the idea of believing has just become a belief system. That if I follow the right system, I'm believing. And maybe that's not the way to think about it. And so I'm going to throw you some ideas out with that today. My first kind of inclination to think about rules is to say to you today that to be spiritually formed, to form yourself spiritually, has nothing to do with knowing the rules, following the rules, or being able to tell others what the rules are. That being spiritually formed starts with a very simple question from Jesus that he asked over and over and over again. He did not ask people, are you following the rules? He didn't ask people, are you moral? Are you doing the right things? Most of the time, he started with this question. Do you believe? I gave you some examples of places where he says it. There are others. It's a question he loved to ask people. I kind of think he might be asking us that too. Do you believe? Now, one of the things we've added to this sometimes when we get into religious circles is, do you believe the right way? Or do you believe the right things? Well, we're going to leave all that aside. I think all Christ was really asking is, do you believe? See, when Jesus first started spiritually forming people, he said it this way. Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the good news. God's kingdom is here. He was talking about himself. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is here with Jesus. I am the kingdom of heaven. I am the kingdom of God. Change your life and believe. There's interchangeable words here with that word believe. Jesus uses three words interchangeable. Believe equals trust equals faith. Now, so we can get a little theological here to really understand what's going on. This idea of being a system makes no sense when we see these words. These words are about relationship. This word is actually about relationship too. It has nothing to do with I believe God because I do this, or I think this, or I prayed this, or I was told in Sunday school one day this. It has everything to do with change your life and have a relationship because God's kingdom is here. That is, for Jesus, the good news. So, if believing is not about rules, well, we need to think through then, how do we understand all of the stinking rules that are in the Bible? Because there's a lot. There's 613 in the Old Testament alone. And to do that, we need to have a little Bible lesson. So I'm going to throw up a couple of things here. I know we're going fast. I'm throwing a lot of things to you, but this is all going to help through this series, so stay with me. It's really important every time you look at the Bible, every verse you read, everything you think is a rule, to ask this question. In the Bible, what is descriptive versus what is prescriptive? Descriptive, when you look at the Bible, is parts of the Bible describing something that was for a specific time and place. So there are parts of the Bible that are descriptive. So you read the Bible and you go, oh, that's describing something that happened in the first century. Or that's describing something that happened in 1200 BC. There also are these pieces you've got to ask what's prescriptive. That's saying there's parts of the Bible prescribing something that is for all time and all places. Very different. That means if something happened in the first century or in 1200 BC, it's saying this should happen forever and shouldn't stop happening. And here we are in 2015, prescriptive would say it's happening now. Descriptive would say that was for then. This is a fundamental theological understanding of the Bible that whether you know it or not, you have. In fact, everybody has. And what happens is, in 2015, we have to figure out which rules are prescriptive and which rules are descriptive. And that becomes the question. Where do you draw the line on what you're going to say was then versus what continues today? And make no mistake, everybody has a line. I'm going to show you some examples. Here is, this is in kind of the order from the beginning of the Bible to the end, some rules that people have put out there that you're supposed to follow in religious circles. Some of you have seen these, some of you did not know some of these existed. Don't eat pork. I am screwed from Thursday night. Don't practice homosexuality. Some of you have heard that. Well, what does that mean? Well, there it is. Don't practice homosexuality. Do not wear tattoos on your body. Some of us are really screwed. Do not curse your parents. I think that one says mother. Do not curse your mother. I think it's okay to curse the other end. No, I'm just kidding. Don't practice homosexuality. We're going to kill you if you're a homosexual. Yeah, it's in there. You're not allowed to cross-dress. Don't work on Saturday. Women, not allowed to talk in church. We hand out muzzles when you come in, and you just kind of, that's what we do. Slaves, do not disobey your masters. All those slaves that ran away, how dare they? I can't believe it. Women, not allowed to teach. Eternal fiery torment in hell for non-believers. This is a handful of the rules that are mentioned in the Bible. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other ones that people have plucked out and put up on a line and said these are the rules. And this is where Christianity gets really screwed up. Everyone draws a line somewhere on what rules to keep. Everybody. You do too. I do too. You draw a line somewhere here to say, I'm keeping those. Those are prescriptive. Those are prescribed for all time. And some of these we're crossing out and going, no, those were descriptive. And then some of these, which I'm really good at, I really am, is, oh, my favorite phrase is, I think you might be interpreting that wrong. So then it becomes descriptive. This can be tough because even if you're a traditional conservative person or a progressive liberal person, you have a line. Everybody has a line. I'm just going to ask you, where is your line? Where do you draw it? One of my favorite stories of this is my wife has an uncle. His name is Ronnie, amazingly good guy. He and his partner we have known for years and years. Ronnie and Brian are just really, really good people. He was a minister in a church about 25 years ago, and he lived in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is not the place to come out as gay in around 1990, yet he decided that's what he was going to do to his church. Lost his job and his life, as you can probably understand. And so about 25 years ago, things really drastically changed for Ronnie. he was with his partner for many years, long time. And then about 5 years ago, Arkansas legalized gay marriage, which I always tell my wife who's from Oklahoma. I'm like, when Arkansas is more progressive than your state, there might be issues. So Arkansas legalized gay marriage. So 5 years ago, they crossed the border, he and Brian, and they got married in Arkansas. We were the only people in the family, and that's a huge family, awkwardly huge for me to be with all of, I mean, hundreds of people. We were the only people in the family to send a wedding gift, my wife and I. Seriously, I remember just thinking, like, I don't care if they all disagree. I mean, they're all from Oklahoma, that's fine. I could care less if they disagree with the lifestyle. They can be totally prescriptive on all this stuff. You can still be nice. I mean, still send a wedding gift and be nice. No, it's their special day. Here's what's fascinating about Ronnie, though. My favorite piece about Ronnie is he is one of the most traditional people I know when it comes to the rules. Fascinatingly traditional. He believes almost all of the Bible is prescriptive. He struggles with things like tattoos. He does. He believes in eternal fiery torment in hell for non-believers. Like, he is way, way traditional on his thinking process of the Bible. And it's always been good to talk to him for me because it's a reminder everybody has a line. Everybody has to figure out what rules they think continue and what rules don't. I think some people, in fact, go to church because they want someone like me to get up and tell you which rules you should follow. I mean, wouldn't that be nice, right? Some of you have been in that kind of place before. As you know, I'm not going to tell you which ones to follow. And I'm not going to tell you which ones are prescriptive or descriptive. I have my own opinions on a lot of this stuff. I will say this, I think way too much of the Bible is taken as prescriptive. I do believe that. But you do got to figure this out for yourself. You really do. Instead, I want to talk about the problem is it's impossible, impossible to know which ones are prescriptive and descriptive for sure. It really is. It's impossible to figure it out, to open your Bible and go, this rules for now, this rules for then, this rules for now, this rules for then. I've been following Christ for 35 years. I have gone to every level of training for the Bible you can go to. I've done it all. And I don't say that with any ego, because the truth is, going through all of that has shown me just how little I know. It's impossible to figure it out. And I think in that, we start to find a solution for believing. That the solution isn't to figure out what rules to follow, which tends to sometimes be, I'm going to tell other people what rules they should follow, and we don't want to be those people. I think the solution is realizing that we're not going to know for certain. And that's okay. I'm sure some of you guys would like to know for certain. Well, I would really like to know, is this right or is this wrong? And it's maybe in that mystery that there's something okay, that following Christ has a lot more to do with how we treat people and those type of things. Jesus said it really clear in the Jesus Creed, which we're going to come back to through this series, the Jesus Creed. We've narrowed the Jesus Creed to just four words. Love God, love others. Simple. Love God and love other people. We take that from Jesus himself, who, when he had a mantra that he would say every day, as early Jews would have done in the first century, he would say this little mantra. Look at the second words. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This was something Jesus would have repeated three times daily. During this series in Lent, we're going to come back to this. Because I want you to see that this is a response to a simple question. One of them, an expert in the religious law, you know, one of those guys who's been to all the training, all the schooling, knows everything, right? Tries to trap Jesus with a question. Teacher, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Let's make this more simple. Which rule are we supposed to follow? Because, by the way, a bunch of these are in the law of Moses. Which rule are we supposed to follow? The same thing 2,000 years ago as we want to know. What's the rules? And Jesus said, here's your rule. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. First and greatest commandment. And by the way, he gave a second one, which we'll go over next week. Love others as you love yourself. Love other people. That's it. So when asked to name the rule that matters the most, this is the one Jesus gives. This is no system for moral improvement. This is no system of rules. In fact, this is what I would love to tell Ben Franklin if I could speak to him. I'd say the morals are not a line you draw or a system or a set of beliefs or doctrines. That this list of rules, you know, that Ben Franklin had, self-restraint, silence, discipline, frugality, hard work, sincerity, justice, self-control, cleanliness, peace, sexual purity, and humility, I'm good with all those. I want to have those. That's the kind of person I'd like to be. But I don't think it comes out of following the rules. I think it comes from relationship. It starts with I love God. And out of that, these things just kind of come out of me. I want to be these things. I want to care for people more. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be humble. I definitely want to be clean. That's right next to God, that's for sure. I guess what I'm saying is this. I'm going to make it real simple. This is it. Being spiritually formed starts, as we're thinking through Lent, with this simple idea. Relationship. What is your relationship like with the God of the universe who cares about you as an individual so deeply and loves you so much? What does it look like for you to believe? Like, I would say this is what Jesus wants from us. And so I take you back to the simple question that Jesus was asking everybody he came into contact with. I mean, really, he just kept coming into contact with people. And he would ask this question. Do you believe? Not in a system. Not in whatever you were told you were supposed to believe in by somebody in your past. But just in your life, can you just believe in a relationship with a God who loves you and all he asks of you is to love God back and love other people? That's it. That's what he asks of you. Do you believe? So I'm going to close today by putting Jesus' words up again. I'm going to give the full Jesus Creed, the first part of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And last week at the end, we prayed to God that over the next 6 weeks, would you just change me? Would you be doing work inside of me? That as I go through this series, each of us, as we think about these things through Lent, that something shifts in us. And I hope you did pray that. Whether you did or not, I'm going to encourage you to think about praying this today. Jesus, I believe. And you may, it might be helpful, at the top, to think of those four segments of belief and of love. And maybe one of those speaks more to you. Maybe there's some people in here that say, man, I can love God with all my heart. I mean, there's just something with you emotionally. You can just love God. And for some of you, it's your soul. There's a deepness. And it may not become emotional at all, but it settles deep within you that you want to have a soul love with God. Others in here, it may be a strength thing. Maybe there's something about who you are that understands the power of God. And you can't figure God out, and you don't need to know all the answers, but you just look around and you just kind of figure out there is something powerful about who God is. And for others, it might just be your mind. It's interesting, for a long time, people who would think about God, it was almost looked at as a negative. Oh, we don't want you to think about God because you might, you know, figure something out that's bad. I look at it as the opposite. I think the mind is a beautiful thing, and I think God gave it to us. And maybe it's in that place that you find the love of God. So I'm just going to sit this up here for about 30 seconds or so. I'm going to do what we did last week. We're just going to let the room be silent. And take a second to kind of think through, maybe meditate on one or all of those words in the top of the Jesus Creed. And then if you're comfortable, just to yourself with God, maybe start from a place of saying, I believe. I want that relationship. And then next week we'll go further with it. So we'll just take about 30 seconds. God, I want to thank you for just personally, individually, that I don't have to draw lines anymore. Not only was it difficult, it's confusing. Because what I found in my life, and maybe others in here have too, you're not actually drawing lines. You're kind of X-ing out people. And that got hard. And as I have started to believe that having a relationship with you is much deeper than just following a set of rules, I have found, God, that, and I can only speak for myself, that the soul part of that has gotten much deeper. There's something that has bored its way way down into who I am. That a relationship with you is the only reason. And it's kind of funny, God, all the things that are looked on exterior, moral-wise, those things just kind of come about naturally because I want to be like you. And a lot of the judgments and need to tell other people the rules or what they're supposed to follow, those things are just kind of falling away. And so, God, my prayer is that as a community, we can, not just today, but in the next few weeks as we talk about this, we can be spiritually formed in a different way. Not that we have to have everything figured out, because I think we all know, if we're real honest, that it's hard to figure it out. We've even moved our lines at times in the past. And maybe we just kind of set that aside, even just for the next 6 weeks. We can go back to it if we need to, but just for the next 6 weeks, we set it aside, God. And we focus on the relationship. That believing and faith and trust, they're all relational words, God. And we just want to have a relationship with you. We want to love you with who we are, and that bores deep down into our souls. I said it earlier, God, but you are the God who created the world. That's a mystery in and of itself. But the thing that is so beautiful is you care about each person in this room individually. There is something so powerful and mighty about that, and yet something so tender, so intimate about it as well. And that's what we worship. Finally, guys, I just thank you for every person in this room. I pray that in the weeks ahead that their belief strengthens, that following Jesus becomes very real to them. Thank you for loving us. It's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.